Well, we are approaching Christmas time, 2 weeks away, and it will be Christmas. So, what should we talk about? Why don't we talk about Jesus? Since Christmas is coming, I would like to talk about Jesus. And we're given much information about our Lord in the Scriptures, and from that information, I'd like to tell you in my own words, based upon Scripture, the story of what has taken place since before the beginning of time. So let's start with the fact that we understand that there is just one God, but He is manifest in three persons. We have the manifestation of the Father, who is equal with the other two manifestations, each one equal with the other. In Philippians 2, 5 through 8, we are told, Philippians 2, 5 through 8, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. From these few words, and a few verses, we go from the beginning to the cross. So let's start near the beginning, before there was a world or a universe, and God in the person of the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit determined to create everything that we know about. The Father knew that man could be created perfect, but sin would destroy man's relationship with God. And so there would have to be a way to atone for man's sin, and it was planned that Jesus would come in the fullness of time and pay for all of the sin in the planet. He would pay for all of the sin in the entire universe. And in 2 Timothy 1, 7 through 9, we are told, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affections of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. With the plan in place for mankind, God began the creation using Jesus as the personality who did the creation. Colossians 1, 12 through 17. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have the redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. Excuse me. Verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the manifestation of every creature, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or things that were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Excuse me. So, Now we have the creation taking place, and God's plan for you and I was in place. It began with the creation, which was good. And as you can read in Genesis 1:31, God looked at each day, and when it was finished, and saw that it was good. And he said each day was good. And when God was done with the creation at the end of 6 days, he said it was very good. God the Father had interaction beginning at the very beginning with Adam and Eve. But they sinned, and God had to offer a blood sacrifice in order to atone for that sin. God made clothes for Adam and Eve from the skins of the animals that he had sacrificed for their sin. Later, we're told that without blood or a blood sacrifice, there was no way to forgive sin. Hebrews 9:22 through 24 tells us, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." As time went on, mankind became more sinful. God sent prophets to tell mankind about what he was going to have to do for mankind. There were many prophets that foretold Jesus' coming. But one prophet gave us a sign so that we could know for certain that Jesus had come. And that was the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah told us in Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Centuries passed, and no virgin conceived. And mankind began to doubt God. But then one day, the angel Gabriel appeared unto Mary with a message from God. She had been selected of all the young women in the world to be the virgin bringing God's son into the world. I'm curious about what was so special about Mary that God chose her to be the mother of his son. From before the creation of anything, God had determined that Jesus should have to leave heaven and become a little baby, that he would have to grow into a man in order to purchase mankind from sin. It would take 30 years for Jesus to grow into that man, and we would know much about him during that time. I'll share what we do know about his growing up. 8 days after he was born, he was presented to God at the temple. You see, during the time that passed between the creation and the final first advent of Jesus, God gave commandments and laws that would be kept and followed by the people that God chose for his special people. It didn't take long for them to discover that they couldn't keep these commandments or the laws. But some tried, and there were specific things that were part of the growing up process. The visit to the temple with the baby Jesus was part of God's plan. Let's look at what the scripture says about the event. Turn to Luke 2, 22 through 35. Luke 2, 22 through 35. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord. 24. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arm and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at the things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed him and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pursue thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. We don't hear anything for about 12 years. Then there was the event in the temple that left Jesus' parents mystified. And we'll find that in Luke 2, 41 through 50. Luke 2, 41 through 50. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew it not. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. Again, we have silence for 18 years. As Jesus grew into a man and was in all things obedient unto the law of God. About the time that John the Baptist began his ministry of warning the people of Israel about their sin and baptizing them, indicating repentance, Jesus appears on the scene. He's about to begin his ministry, and there's one thing necessary for him to represent God. Let's look at it in the scriptures. Matthew 3, 13 through 17. Matthew 3, 13 through 17. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan to John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, one of the things that is very important about this is Jesus was not in a position to minister until the Holy Spirit of God came upon him. And none of us are in any position to minister for our Lord if we don't have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. But if you are saved today, if you have believed and trusted Jesus Christ to take away your sin, then you have the Holy Spirit living in you, and you have what you need to minister. We should be doing that. We should be reaching out to the people all around us. This Christmas should be so special. Every Christmas should be special. But this Christmas needs to be even more special as we do what God wants us to do. And there are things he does want us to do. So, we don't hear any, okay. Now Jesus is ready to begin the ministry that he had planned, that had been planned before the creation of the world. God knew that man would become a sinner, and that if God was going to be able to fellowship with us, he would have to, in some way, atone for the sin in our lives. That was going to be the job of Jesus, to take care of that. It was God's plan that Jesus, as God, leave heaven and become a man and live a sinless life and be offered in sacrifice for the sin of the whole world. This was God giving a part of himself to you and I. Remember, it's one God. The Son, the Holy Spirit, the Father are just one God. And so God gave a piece of himself to become Jesus Christ, to be born of a woman, to become a man. And when you think about that, that's a fantastic outreach that God had to each one. God's plan for you and me from before the world was created was that Jesus would make it possible for you and I to have fellowship with God, to come into his presence without any kind of trauma. God loved you so much that he was willing to sacrifice a part of himself to buy you back from the devil. When God was upon this earth in the person of Jesus Christ, he couldn't move among his creation without helping wherever he was and those who he came in contact with. He knew that he had just 3 years to do what he could do for those he came in contact with. Let's think about what Jesus thought during his life here on earth. He would have 33 birthdays in his life. If he had lived in our time, that would be 32 Christmases. The world's people don't think about Christmas as being the birthday of Christ. Every time that he met someone with an ailment or a disease, he healed them so that they wouldn't have to suffer. He caused the blind to see. He made the lame to walk. He healed the sick. He raised the dead and restored them to life for a while. I wonder how those people greeted him when they arrived in heaven. Think about that. Jesus had made them whole, had given them their life back. They would meet him in heaven one day when their life was over. What Jesus displayed when he healed the people was that he wanted them to be as he had created them so that they could serve him. He has created us for the very same purpose. We are to be serving him since he healed us from our sin. And that's what he did. He healed us from our sin. Our salvation was a form of healing for each one of us. We were sick with sin, and he rescued us from the clutches of that sin. Imagine how the lame man would greet Jesus, how the woman whose son was raised from the dead would greet Jesus when she got to heaven and saw Jesus again. It makes me wonder how we will greet him for saving us from our sin. You thought about that? About how you should be loving him for what he has done for you? The Apostle Paul told us that something that may affect us if we are around for the rapture. How will you greet the Lord who has healed you of sin if he comes before you die? We're told in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Will you be shouting because you are going to be with your Savior? Or will you be ashamed because you haven't been a faithful servant and used Christmas time the way that he intended for it to be used? What kind of a birthday party are you going to have for the Lord Jesus Christ this Christmas? Have you thought about it? Are you going to give him a party? Really? See, Christmas is not the giving of presents. It's not even the singing of hymns, although that's a part of it. But Jesus, it is a celebration of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that celebration, could we do it without him present? No. He must be a part of it. He has to be there. We must recognize him as being. We need to recognize Jesus Christ, not only his spirit being in our hearts, but his presence being close to us. He is with you. He promised, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." And he has kept that promise. He's there wherever you go. He goes with you. Yes, the Holy Spirit goes in you, but Jesus goes with you. And so this Christmas, let's make it really special. Let's have a birthday party for Jesus. And let's reach out and invite everybody we can to that party. I know it's early, but we're done for tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do love you because you first loved us. And Father, sometimes we forget about that love. Sometimes we don't understand it. We don't feel it. It's there, but Father, make us aware of that. Make us aware of the love that you have placed in our heart. for you, for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for your Holy Spirit. And then, Father, help us to share that love with the people around us. There are so many lonesome people, so many hurting people, so many depressed people. Father, help us to minister to them. Help us to share with them the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, may we have the joy of seeing some of those people trust Jesus as their personal Savior. Thank you, Father, for giving us life. Thank you for guiding it. Thank you for preserving it. Use our life, Father, the way you want to, and use us as your ambassadors, and help us reach out and touch others. And we will praise you for all that you do, because we ask it in Jesus' name.